Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to In the Know with Mo. This is your host, Maureen Forte. Tonight, I have a very exciting intellectual as my guest this evening. I have the author, Mr. Eddie Harris. Eddie B. Harris, is a father of five children. His novel titled, Take the Chain Off Your Brain, is packed with thought-provoking possibilities. Tonight, we're going to be speaking with author Eddie B. Harris and discussing this book. And those of you who are interested and would like to speak with the author, Eddie B. Harris, you can call us here at 713-955-0678. Good evening, Mr. Harris, and welcome to In the Know with Mo.
Good evening, Ms. Mo, and a happy belated birthday.
Oh, thank you very much. I celebrate the whole month of October.
Okay.
But you know what, Eddie? Every day when I wake up, it's a birthday. You know, I think of it that way. Is I thank God for allowing me to open up these big, beautiful brown eyes of mine. So I just try to help educate the people, let them know every day is a birthday because we're birthing and waking to a new day. But I want to talk about you. You know, give our listeners a little bit of background about yourself.
I'll start a little bit basically about the book, which started 6 years ago. It started off as an essay, and after writing it, I was working on the railroad, and I let several of the engineers and conductors read it. And they said how good it was that I needed to do something with it. I tried to get it published in several papers and magazines, which I had no luck doing that. So I decided to go ahead and write a whole book. And it started out being a book of essays, and it turned out just being an informative book because that's what it was. It was inspiration that came to me to write it.
Well, you know, one part of the book that I'm really was interested in, since I'm out here trying to educate our people, is on the prejudice and racism. You know, what is really the difference on prejudice and racism? So, you know, it gets me angry as a black person, African American, colored Negro. We've gone all through the words through the years. And now as I'm getting older, I'm now being faced with the words of biracial, mulatto, give me a break. You know, I experienced some racism this past weekend while I was in Cincinnati, Ohio, which is a very racist town. But it just turned out I proved to be the victor because my travel companion is African American, but of a way darker hue than I, and I spoke for the Jewish community. That's what I did in Cincinnati, and they just tend to have a problem. So when I picked up, I just have to be picking up the book, and it opened right to the part on prejudice and racism. You know, and I said, "Wow, how deja vu was that?"
Right. Oh yeah, that's. For me, that's our biggest problem here in this country, you know, because we are scared to face that biggest fear of talking about this fictitious word that we hold on to called race. You know, a race is a beginning and an end. If I explain to anyone today, because I had to evolve, what my race is to fulfill my destiny and to help my children fulfill theirs by guiding and directing them before I leave this planet. That's my race. You know, other than that, I don't worry about people and the different concepts that they have engulfed because it's not theirs. You know, and when I learn to really tune in to a person, I know that this person is speaking totally from the heart.
Right, right.
And I learn to get what's needed to be getting from that individual so I can help myself, you know, because the most of us don't understand that when we actually meet people, it's for a reason.
Right.
And we don't understand that reason until that person has left us, our sight, or left this planet. Mm-hmm. And we finally understand what this person was saying because someone else has said the same exact thing. As you said, deja vu.
Yeah,
it was telling
yeah.
you something because you were there, and it was something in that room that just was not right. But again, we always avoid, just like you said, we've now been placed in things like minority, you know,
yeah.
What's these other words, poor, diversity, mm-hmm. all these different things, and it has nothing to do with the plight of Black America because
right.
no other ethnic group were brought over here in chains. They migrated. So that's the difference. And when you put us or put everybody else with us, we become last again because, you know, you're still, again, you're putting people that did not experience that experience that we had. You know, but it's always these up, just like right now, they're getting ready to fight about what? Affirmative action. Why do we need affirmative
yeah.
action? Because we're still going through the exact same thing. Because we are afraid to talk about something that should have been talked about long before now. And because we
and
won't
you know
talk
what?
About it. Go ahead.
Because we won't talk about it, it's pushed on the back burner. And it becomes the topic of later conversations. But and as you were saying in your book, and which is so true, this book is written like 6 years ago, but in your book you had stated that Blacks are not the minority, but Blacks become the minority when others use them for their gain. And here we are upon the election season, and of who are we targeting? When it's time for election, who's targeted most in any race, and it's the Blacks. We're tired because it's so many people that are not registered to vote. The politicians, you only see politicians going into the Black churches. You know, like the Black people can't, we don't have a brain to think. We
mm-hmm.
don't know what to think. We don't know how to research our stuff. And other thing that you had mentioned, which is so true, poor whites and Hispanics, they get more than any other ethnic group, and which is true, is I just finished teaching all Hispanic children, and no Black children, students at all in the school, but because this was a population of Hispanic, predominantly Mexican children, they had more. They had the building was centrally air-conditioned, all buildings, each child had laptops, and I mean, more was given to them. And if I said that these had been all Black kids, they would not have had everything. And this was a public school, Chicago Public School.
But you see, this is the same thing we're talking about. Racism, you know, is at the bottom of the core of everything. And because of Eric Holder said it, we're cowards. And
mm-hmm.
even when he said it, I was waiting for a leader to step up and say, well, let's form a committee. See, because
mm-hmm.
evidently Eric Holder didn't form one,
mm-hmm.
but nobody else took the lead because that is the problem.
Right,
we
right.
didn't. Nobody jumped on that and said, yeah, that's it. Let's keep it in the forefront. Because by putting it on the back burner, look where we are now.
Right.
We have
right.
a president-elect trying to be president talking about states' rights and Black people not understanding where we were in states' rights. Dealing with Jim Crow and other things, you know. I mean, these are signals that should wake us up. We're waking up, but we're still waking up slowly. You know,
I'm telling you.
We need
very slowly.
Very slowly, you know. But like I said, Chicago is the new chocolate city or mecca of North America. See, all of the chaos we're seeing in the East, Chicago is a reflection. Mm-hmm. We haven't figured that out yet. And that the world has its eyes on us. Chocolate City, this is where Barack came from. Obama came from. Everything's happening here. You know, the educational secretary came from here. The teacher strike started here. You know, all eyes are on Chicago.
And
for a reason.
You are correct. The eyes are on Chicago. I was selected to represent National Action Network because this is the home of the president. I believe I was selected because of my background. It's a very clean background. There's probably some skeletons in there somewhere, but I'm an elected official, you know, and I'm also a social activist and a history maker. So, but the bottom line is we want the best to be put out there in the forefront because here we have the president of the United States that lives in Chicago, that's from Chicago, and now this is what we want to mighty, we want everything to run smoothly, you know, and it just seems like after I had taken on this position, then it had just, I was already in the street doing my own activism, but I just included it. So, like, now we have, like, over 1,000 deputy registrars. So then it brings me to the relationship part of your book. Well, there's another part I'm trying to think of where it talks about the truth of the definition of truth. You know, we have to learn how to be truthful and what truth means in order to achieve what we are looking for. So it's just so much, so much. And it's called The Journey into Truth. I have it. If you saw my book, you'd probably just scream. You know, everyone has their own perception of what they believe to be true. And I think you and I had started a conversation at one of the classes when we were talking about the first black president, you know. And then there's some other, because this book is very deep, very interesting. I could see it being used in a classroom as part of a curriculum for maybe 11th graders, high schoolers. Maybe 10th grade sophomore, because we've had to start educating our young people early. And hopefully, since students are the consumers, they would take the information home to their parents or whoever their guardians are. But you had a very fantastic background. I mean, you started out being taught by the Nation of Islam in that teaching and then went into the Catholic teaching. So you have experienced all forms of religion. You have a strong background in religion.
Yeah, I do have some knowledge in religion. I do. And I accredited that to the Nation of Islam, just their study habits. And, you know, even before I wrote the book, I did a lot of research. And like I said, I contribute that to them. And going through Catholic school made me question even more because it was so confusing, you know, from something that was so direct and understanding from Islam to be so confusing in a Catholic school that put me in that mist of, okay, I got to figure this out on my own. I got to see what I have to have, what I've been given, and go from there. But a big thing when I started at Tales, I started there and I put under religion atheist. And I had a problem getting in, but I spoke to the deans of admission, and after talking to him, you know, he couldn't do nothing but let me in, because at the end of the total conversation was, you know, I'm 14, and if you can't give me some evidence, some proof of what you've learned, what you know to be the existence of God, then who are you to tell me that there is one? I'm here to learn. He said, let this young man in.
Let this young man in. So now that you are grown and you're the father of five, what's your religious status as of today?
There is none.
What's your religion? Okay, so you're still an atheist?
No, there is no the question asked was what religion, and just like in the book, there's the third title. The second title is entitled No Religion. Right, if we really think about it, there is no such thing. Because from what we all have been given and gathered, it's the word that we believe in. See, and man took the word, placed names and titles on the word, and called the word religion. And we've been confused because we've been following different religions instead of the word.
Right. See? And then one thing, Minister Farrakhan, you know, I participate or I'm involved with the Nation of Islam I work with their prison ministry where Minister Abdullah Muhammad and have security from the Nation of And one Sunday I was sitting in the service at the mosque, and Minister Farrakhan had said, do not get hung up on titles. You know, titles, the only things you have in this world is your bond. Your bond is all that you are worthy of. And it had turned out someone had promised to do something for me, an elected official, and they didn't carry it through. And Minister Farrakhan had called us both to the mosque, and that was the title of his sermon. Do not get hung up on titles. Titles, what are titles? You know? But you're correct, because one part of your book on the Bible, it mentions that the Bible needs to be deciphered. You know, there's so many meanings. You can read, follow one Bible, and it's saying one thing, but then when you interpret it, it means something else. We all have our own interpretations of everything. And as you say in your book, there are so many religions claiming to be right. And most of them haven't realized that God is universal and only gives his word to a chosen few, which are the only bits and parts of his total being. You know, because if you look up in the sky, when I was in Seoul, Korea, the sun that was there was the same sun that my mom saw when she was here. So it's only one sun. You see, and we all smile. So the only thing, you know, really, what do we have in common as a I don't want to say a race of people, because I want to include the universe of people. We share the same smile. A smile is the same in any culture, in all cultures. I found the journey to truth, prejudice and racism, and the Bible. You know, we have to be able to decipher. And I believe, because I'm on the Trinity United Church of Christ on 95th Street, and there's several interpretations of the service. You know, as we go on, the pastor will start off with one reading. Then you go to another book with another reading, and then he breaks it down with a hip-hop reading, maybe from the same book, but on a level where young people can understand it.
Okay.
To get the message. So it's very interesting.
Oh, yeah, but that's what it was intended for, because, like I said, the original title was entitled, These Are Just Thought-Provoking Possibilities. And it was made to provoke, to make one think, you know. And that's what we need right now in our community, to make one another think critically, to think outside the box, because we're stuck inside this box. And right now, being stuck inside, we're getting engulfed. We're being pushed farther and farther down in this proverbial hole, you know. And it's only once we become detached, or as I change the title now to take the chain off your brain, do we become enabled, or we're open to receive the insight needed to get to the next level. Right now, we're like a dog chasing our tail. We're revolving instead of being upright and evolving, going upward the way we should. That's why we hear our children calling one another dogs and the B word, you know.
Right,
and
right.
When you look at that dog, it's God spelled backwards. We used to call one another God, you know.
Yeah,
and now
right,
it turns
right.
around and we call each other dog.
Yeah,
know?
Right.
And it's the chain that has been put on our brains, you know. It's the old Willie Lynch syndrome. But when
there
we
you
really
go.
Understand Willie Lynch and the reason that we're coming out of that syndrome, just looking at the dates alone, when we don't even get into the body of the letter and look at the title of the letter, and it states Willie Lynch, and you,
mm-hmm.
this letter is here to keep you able to make a Negro a slave and keep him a slave.
Mm-hmm.
And this is signed in 1712.
Mm-hmm.
And if you follow this by the letter, you will keep a Negro a slave for 300 years. Where if you take 1712 and add 300 years, you come up with 2012. See, it's more than one reason that things are happening on 2012 this year, and reasons
exactly.
that a lot of things and a lot of us are waking up. It's time for it. They've always feared the black man waking up. See,
we
a lot of us.
Mr. Harris, we have a caller here. Let's see if the caller wants to ask you a question.
Okay.
Hello, caller from 4841. You're live on the line. Are you listening in, or would you like to ask Mr. Harris a question? Hello, 957. Hello.
Hello,
okay.
Is anyone there?
Yeah, there's someone there. They're live on the line from Chicago, 773. And,
can anybody hear me there? Is anybody there?
Hello, 773-4841. You're live on the line. Do you want to ask Mr. Harris a question? Or are you just listening here? Hello? Welcome to In the Know with Mo with Eddie B. Harris. Okay, they're just holding on listening to you.
Okay, maybe
okay,
they just
well,
want to listen.
Right, it's probably, well, I have a number here for you, and I can get you off air, maybe someone that you know. Another thing I want to talk about, which is something I have recently started doing, is breaking down words to acronyms, how important language is and what letters mean. Like, I'm in the process of running for re-election for alderman in the village where I live, and I'm trying to think of a slate, so I had put it out to the various people to ask for different names. Because last year I was the part of the unity slate, and so people have been sending me words. And then when I read your part on acronyms, you reminded me of Mr. Sporty King. I don't know if you're familiar with Sporty King, but Sporty King does nothing but break words down. Each word, each letter means something. And I was focusing in on your acronym session.
Okay.
In the book here. Seize the picture needs. The acronyms and the way in which words are used are very important. Like my
right.
favorite group is the Black Eyed Peas, Will I Am.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, and funny that you mentioned Black Eyed Peas because I'm using them to break down the word itself that they used in one of their records where they use funk, spelled P-H-U-N-K.
Mm-hmm.
But, I'm not going to get into the funk because that's not talking about what you were just talking about, but acronyms. But a good acronym that I'm constantly working on right now is HEALTHY. Healthy self, healthy mind, healthy body, healthy living. You know, that word is for me two words, healthy. Instead of saying healthy self, the word now becomes heal thyself.
Mm.
Heal thy mind. Heal thy body. Because everything actually starts within, starts from the self. So when we look at it that way, food that we buy called healthy meals, they're not telling you it's actually a healthy meal because when you read the contents and see the sodium on the back, it's not healthy.
I'm on that.
But they're telling you to heal thy meal.
Mm-hmm.
So you're buying a meal, you better find out how to heal it. See?
That's
so you better
right.
heal the food you get or learn to eat to live.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's different ways we have to use words to influence and motivate our people to eat better, live better. You know, see life in a different way, because the way we look at life is the way we live life. The old acronym that says you can't be what you don't see, or you can only be what you see. You know,
mm-hmm.
what do most of our children see
mm-hmm.
in their homes and on the street? You know, so we have to start with self being that example to our children, you know, in order for them to feel it within themselves. Because if they don't, like I said, it all starts with self. And if they don't feel it from the home, which is their center, you know,
right.
which is their safe haven, you know, their serenity, they're not going to feel it anyplace else. Not truly, because they're going to always be searching for something they should be getting at home.
Well, you know what, Mr. Harris, I'd like to bring you back on. Probably next week, and I would like to discuss this section on training section, which is chapter 11, and also get into that again a little deeper, because there's a part in there that talks about the quotes, and also I'd like to talk about who and what is the church, and talk about bullying. You know, we
mm-hmm.
are coming. We have about a couple of minutes left, but can you tell the people who are listening how they can get in touch with you and how they can get a copy of your novel, Take the Chain Off Your Brain?
Yes, they can. They could get in touch with me through my blog site, which is professor3d.wordpress.com. Or they can go to SPAA,
mm-hmm.
publication, P.O. Box 22, Park Forest, Illinois, 60466, or they can call 708-785-7371. Which is SPA's headquarters, and
okay.
that's the publication.
And there's a website too, right? www.thespa.org.
That's the website, www.thespa.org.
Okay, I want to, and I will arrange to have you to come back on next week if the time is permissible. And we can get into some questions.
That is very much so. And I would like to remind people, please, don't forget to vote. Don't forget to vote.
Please don't forget to vote. You know, we registered so many people, and today is October 9th, which is the last day to register to vote.
Mm-hmm.
But we register all these people, but the most important thing is not watching the polls, but taking your souls to the polls on November 6th.
Oh, yeah.
We will have Mr. Eddie B. Harris back on next week if his schedule permits, so we can go a little deeper in his book. And we'll also have him back on because he's also informed and educated on the politics. Maybe we'll get into some of the politics of our democracy here. I want to thank you, Mr. Eddie B. Harris.
And I'd like to thank you. And again, enjoy your month for the rest of your anniversary.
Thank you. And everyone, you've been listening to In the Know with Vote with my guest, Mr. Eddie B. Harris, the author of Take the Chain Off Your Brain.
Good night, one and all.